Someone asked me before the sermon today, do you have your sermon this week? And that was a fair question, because as some of you may recall, a few weeks ago I left my sermon notes in my office and I had to go get them. So I have my sermon notes today, but I just realized that I forgot to give Miguel the new slides and the video that was supposed to be part of the sermon today. We had a lot going on preparing for this morning, and I forgot. So you're just going to hear me talking about it more than seeing it, I'm afraid. But I hope you'll get the point. Nobel Peace Prize laureates His Holiness Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu have survived more than 50 years of exile and soul-crushing violence and oppression. And despite their hardships, or as they would say, because of them, they are two of the most joyful people on the planet. Now, if you have seen pictures of either of these folks, Desmond Tutu, who I think is perpetually smiling, and the Dalai Lama, who also smiles so much. Picture them now, because the picture's not there. But in April 2015, Archbishop Tutu traveled to the Dalai Lama's home in Dharamsala, India, to celebrate His Holiness's 80th birthday, and to create what they hoped would be a gift for many others. They looked back on their long lives to answer a single burning question. How do we find joy in the face of life's inevitable suffering? This became the basis of a book called The Book of Joy. I don't know, has anybody seen it? Well, it also became a movie based on the book that was called Mission Joy. And it's wonderful. I would recommend it. It's streaming in a few different places. I think right now the easiest place to get it is on Apple TV. If you don't have that, find a friend who does. It's so worthwhile, and I really recommend it. But as we reflect on what it means to have hopeful joy in our time, I want you to think about the example of those two of the greatest spiritual leaders of our time who have been through so much. And one of the video clips that I will put online so you can watch it later in the week, in one of them, Tutu asks His Holiness, "You were exiled 56 years ago from your homeland, your beloved country, the place you love the most in the world. How is it that you're not morose?" And the Dalai Lama had to, what does morose mean? His English is good, but he didn't know that word. Well, it means very, very sad, right? And he said, "Well, I've discovered that being a refugee can be a wonderful thing. That, in fact, some would say that if I stayed in Dharamsala, some people call it the golden cage, because there I stay, being the holy man. But instead, I like this life of being a refugee," he says. Because he can do so much more, he can learn so much more, he can experience so much more. And he doesn't say it, but I would say, because he can teach all of us, and has done so in now these, nearly 60 years that he's been known to all of us. In that momentous conversation between Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, one of the pillars of joy that they identify was perspective. opening ourselves to a different perspective can bring a sense of hope in the midst of despair, allowing joy to creep in no matter what. Opening ourselves to the perspectives of others can shift fear to compassion and turn, as our scripture says, swords into plows. Salvation is near, says the scripture, when we wake up, when we prepare room in our lives for new light, new insight, new hope to enter. Joy is not about denying suffering, but rather it is the embracing of the depths of all of life's emotions that is the very thing that allows us to feel the heights as well. Joy is possible when we understand suffering and imagine ourselves beyond that current pain. Perspective is a key foundation of lasting and hopeful joy, because the way we see the world is the way we experience the world. Perspective makes all the difference, doesn't it? Changing the way we see the world in turn changes our experience and thus the way that we act as well, which then changes the world itself. As the Buddha says, with our mind we create our world. As Christians, we know that we cannot begin to build the kingdom of God until we begin to love our neighbor, including the stranger, the other, and even our enemy as ourselves. As hard as that is, a good place to begin is by changing our perspective so that we no longer see them, those people, as someone different, but as a beloved child of God. Once we can do that, our ability to love our neighbor begins to open up. For the Dalai Lama, perspective is no less than the skull key that opens all of the locks that imprison our happiness. For every event in life, he says, there are many different angles. When you look at the same event from a wider perspective, your sense of worry and anxiety reduces, and you have greater joy. Perspective is a key foundation to lasting joy, hopeful joy, because the way we see the world is the way we experience the world. Desmond Tutu, in the book, uses the example of being stuck in a traffic jam. That's an experience that I think we've all had, right? You can deal with it in one of two ways. You can let the frustration really eat you up, and you get more and more agitated, or we can look around at the other drivers and decide to use our imagination to see their perspective. One woman driving nearby may have pancreatic cancer. Maybe she's on her way to the hospital. It doesn't matter if you don't know exactly what they are dealing with. Just to know that others are suffering with worries and fears because they too are human. Instead of wallowing in our own suffering, our own frustration in that moment, maybe we're late for something very important. our perspective can change. We can choose to lift up those others who are in that traffic with us and bless them. That's very different from the blessing my dad gives them when we're driving together. He likes to say, "Everybody else, get off the road." Imagine we've all felt that way. But what if instead we truly blessed those others who are in this life with us? We can say, "Please, God, give each person here what they need. Give us peace. Help us to be kind." In doing a little research on hope this week, I discovered a new book that I had not heard of before, and a wonderful activist author that I hadn't discovered before. Her name is Rebecca Solnit, and among several books that she's written, she wrote a book called Hope in the Dark. And she says, hope just means another world might be possible. Not promise, not guaranteed. Hope calls for action. Action is impossible without hope. Hope locates itself in the premises that we don't know what will happen, and that in the spaciousness of uncertainty is room to act. When you recognize uncertainty, you recognize that you may be able to influence the outcomes. You alone, or in concert with a few dozen or several million others. Hope is an embrace of all that is unknown and knowable. It's the belief that what we do matters, even though how and when it may matter, who and what it may impact, are not things that we can know beforehand. We may not, in fact, know them afterwards either, but they matter all the same. And history is full of people whose influence was the most powerful after they were gone. Hope is not a lottery ticket you can sit on the sofa and clutch, feeling lucky. Hope is an axe that you use to break down the doors when there's an emergency. Hope should shove you out the door because it will take everything you have to steer the future away from endless war, from annihilation of the earth's treasures, and the grinding down of the poor and the marginal. To hope is to give yourself to the future. And that commitment to the future is what makes the present inhabitable. Changing our perspective. Allowing God to change our perspective when it's awfully hard for us to do ourselves. Identifying with others around us and realizing that we can have an impact, however small and unknown. These are the seeds of hope, of hopeful joy, that joy might truly blossom in the midst of it all. Amen.